to talk about our vision statement and our motto. So with your Bibles in your hands, say, I am Deliverance Temple.
I am Deliverance Temple.
Where we love, by living our vision every day.
Our vision
is broken down
in these four ways.
We connect with our Creator continually.
We confess our deliverance consistently.
We commit to serve creatively.
We communicate Christ's love compassionately.
We communicate Christ's love compassionately. Pastor Andre, feed me this word. Amen. Come on, give me a shout of praise. Amen. Remember, the whole of our vision statement is to lead to that last part where we communicate Christ's love, not judgmentally, not haughtily, but compassionately. And that's how we make a difference in our community. All right, so last week we talked about, can you stand the rain? And for those of you who were not here, it was not just a spiritual thing that dropped in my spirit. I took it straight from New Edition. Yes, Pastor still loves 90s R&B. Pray for me. I still love 90s R&B. And so we'll put some of the song title, or some of the lyrics from the song. It says, sunny days, everybody loves them. Tell me, baby, can you stand the rain? Storms will come, this we know for sure, but can you stand the rain? So we took that song lyric and we begin to put scripture around it, and we begin to talk about the fact that life is not always easy street, and we begin to talk to you, can God trust you to be able to go through storms? And so we ended with this, I can stand the rain, but what if I'm getting tired? And this is the verse we left on. Sister Mitchell, would you read that verse? Actually, it's two verses together and just part of the first part of 14.
Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore.
So we left off that what God says is, even when you have stood and you can stand the rain and you've gone through the storms and you've been like a palm tree where you've laid down and you bounce back, the Bible says, keep on standing. When you're tired, the Bible says, do not be weary in well-doing, because you will reap if you faint not. So we left off with just keep on standing. And we begin to declare that we can stand the rain. And we talked right at the end about the three Hebrew boys, how they stepped in the fire, not knowing whether or not God would deliver them or not. But they had such an internal fortitude that they were ready to step. And so that's what we left off with. So today we're going to continue, and it's going to be, can you stand the rain, part two. And what I want to do, I want to start with Mark chapter 4, verse 35. And before she reads it, what we're going to do, we're going to turn a corner. Because we have been in a rainy season, not just this church, but even if you hear the statistics, our community has been in a rainy season. Part of it, the opioid epidemic has really changed the dynamic of Delaware County. At one time, we were number two in the entire nation in methamphetamine. I mean, for a small county like we are, we have been in a rainy season. A lot of that comes when we lost jobs. And so Muncie has been through a lot. There's been a lot that has hit us. But if you're still here and you're still standing, you can stand the rain. And one thing I know about God is not about punishing his people. God is always about bringing a turnaround. And before she reads, let me say this. There's one thing that we do know, that whenever you see a rainbow in the sky, the rainbow was a signal to Noah that I will not drown this world again through rain. So if you're going through a rainy season, the rain has to end sometime. Even though you're standing, even though you're prepared, even though you're not a wimpy, wussy Christian, and you can endure hardness as a good soldier, what about raining in other areas? So this is where we're going for today. Somebody say, go there, Pastor. All right, Sister Mitchell, read that.
And the same day, when the even was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side.
Jesus was talking to his disciples, and when it came time for the evening time, he said, let us go to the other side. Let me submit this to you. The reason, the number one reason why rains and storms come into your life is because you have a destiny on the other side. If you know anything about the scripture, when they got to the other side, there was a man called the demoniac who had legions of demons. And what we know is that Jesus cast the demons out. So the demons were afraid of Jesus before he arrived. Let me talk to this side, because y'all may not have got there. Maybe the reason why the rain has come, not because God doesn't like you, but Satan's trying to stop you from being everything that God has called you to be. And if you can stand the rain, and you can push through the rain, one thing that the devil knows is I can't stop them. So they'll try to depress you. So he'll try to confuse you. So he'll try to rock you. But you got to understand, I'm like a weeble wobble. I may go down a little, but I'm going to bounce up. I got a whole lot of bounce in my step. And once the kingdom of darkness realizes there's not a thing in this world that can make you stop serving God, guess what's going to happen? Demons are going to tremble and demons are going to flee at the sound of the name of Jesus, but also at the sight of you. So keep on. I know you might be the only one in your family that's going to get a degree, but keep on pushing. You might be the only one to start a business, but keep on pushing. You might be the only one to take a vow of celibacy until you get married, but keep on pushing. All the rains and all the storms is trying to stop you from getting to the other side. All right, let's read the next verse.
And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships.
So there's Jesus in the ship with the disciples, and there was other little ships. Read some more.
And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full.
The wind rose up and it brought the water into the ship. And anybody knows when the water gets in the ship, it causes it to be too heavy. And it begins to weigh it down. The one scripture talks about it was like gale force winds or hurricane winds. And they would travel through the Sea of Galilee. The Sea of Galilee is just, it's probably double the size of our reservoir. So it's not a huge, huge thing. So when big winds came into the Sea of Galilee, it rocked everything. 38.
And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish?
Everybody was going through the storm, and Jesus was in the back of the boat, sleeping. And the disciples had a question, do you even care what's going on with me? Do you even care that we're about to die? Have you ever talked to God like that? Do you even care that I'm depressed? Do you even care that I'm broke? Do you even care that I'm sick? Do you even care that I've lost a loved one? Sometimes the way Jesus acts looks like he don't care. But the Bible says he was just asleep. Now, if you know anything about the scripture, in Genesis, the first book of the Bible, when God got done doing what he was doing, what did he do on the seventh day? Sometimes when Jesus is quiet, it's because he's resting. But he's not resting because he doesn't care. He's resting because he's already done what he's going to do. And he's waiting for you to understand that no matter how bad the storm is, you got the baddest thing in your ship. Let me pause right now and say, anybody that needs salvation, you need to do it right now and put Jesus in your ship. Because when Jesus is in your ship, there's not a storm, there's not a wind, there's not a rain that can tear you up. Jesus on your ship makes all the difference. Oh, I'm preaching better than y'all acting. I know y'all taking it in, but you can shout hallelujah if you feel like it. Verse 39.
And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased. And there was a great calm.
I love it. He rose. He got up. And he spoke to the wind. A lot of times we're looking at the wrong stuff. We're looking at the rain and the water. But Jesus went right to the cause. And he said, peace, be still. Any of you guys remember the founder of our ministry, Bishop Jimmy Clark Sr.? Sometimes when there was commotion going on, he would just say, "Peace!" Everybody stopped. Baby stopped. Everything would stop because there was a power in his peace. But there wasn't more power in his peace than Jesus' peace. And the Bible says when he woke up, and the scripture lets us know that Jesus was the Word made flesh. And let me submit to you, when the Word wakes up in you, you can look at your storm and say, "Peace, be still. I know you're struggling, but you need to tell depression, peace, be still. I know you got issues in your life, but you need to look at your issues and let the Word of God rise up in you and say, peace, be still." How about you try it with me? Peace, be still. Look at your bank account. Look at your marriage. Look at your body and declare, "Peace, be still." But you got to have some Word in you for the Word to wake up in you. You got to have Jesus in your ship for Jesus to wake up. And then the Bible says, and there was a great calm. When E.F. Hutton speaks, everybody listens. I don't know why they lied on E.F. Hutton, because that ain't the truth. But when God speaks, demons and devils and storms, they got to chill out. I don't know what you're facing. I don't know what you're going through. But I submit to you, it has to chill out, because Jesus is on your ship. Verse 40.
And he said unto them, "Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith?"
Wait a second. Jesus did what he needed to do, but then he began to talk to them. "Why are you so scared? Don't you know who I am? Don't you know I said you're going to the other side? If God said you're going to be a business owner, I don't care how many times it's failed. I don't care who walked out on you. If God said it, the man who said it can bring it to pass." So God has a question for us in our storm. Where is your faith? Why are you so scared? Why so many scary Christians? Let me pick on my video man. Sometimes I get on my video man, my son, because sometimes he gets scared quick. And so he'll see an ant, and he'll come and say, "There's an ant." I'm like, "How many is it? Is it 75 of them?" "No, it's just one of them." I'm saying, "If you don't go down there and kill the ant and quit bothering us." But he got scared. And so I try to tell him, I say, "When I'm gone, you're the man of the house. You're the oldest one in the house, so I can't have you being scared. You got to take some." Sometimes you can be scared on the inside, but never show it on the outside. You got to learn how to stand strong. "Yeah, I'm sweating in my boots, but the devil will never see it here. He'll never know he got me nervous. He'll never know that I'm about to cry, but I'm going to stand right here because I believe God. I believe God going to turn it around. I don't know when, I don't know how, but I believe God." Peace, be still. Pull yourself together. Hold yourself together. One thing I like about, I'm not really a dog fan, but I like bulldogs. Because bulldogs have that lock jaw and that pit bull mentality that when they lock on something, you almost have to beat them to let it go. When you lock on faith, you got to make the devil go through hell to make you let, "I ain't letting go of my confession. I'm not letting go of what I believe. I'm still saved. My family will be saved. My money will be okay. My marriage will turn around. My child will make it. I believe." Where is your faith? He said, actually, he didn't say, "Where is it?" He said, "How is it that you have no faith?" You're walking with me. It's interesting. Jesus spoke. Two people had great faith. He only said great faith twice, and both of them were Gentiles. They weren't the people that walked with him every day, but the people that walked with him every day, he said, "How is it you can walk with me and see what I've done and hear what I've taught and still have no faith? How have you been saved this long and still have no faith? I know you're in a new storm, but have you forgot how you got out of the last storm? It was God that brought you out of the last storm, so when you come into a new storm, you ought to have at least a little faith. Where is your faith? Verse 41.
And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?
They switched from being afraid of the storm to being respecting Jesus and said, what kind of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? When you wake up and see him and his awesomeness, you'll shake your head and say, what kind of man is this? I won't have to beg you to praise God. You won't need the lights and the screen and the music. You'll step on the grounds of the Deliverance Temple and shake your head. What kind of man is this? Because I know he's the only one that can make a difference. Put this up for me. The Jesus in you can shift the storm. Any storm, here's the principle. No matter what storm you're in, yes, I want you to be able to stand the rain. But the Jesus in you can shift any storm. Whenever he get ready, he can shift any storm. Just by a click of his finger. Just, I was talking to God, and I was praying about our own personal financial situation at Deliverance Temple. There's so many things that we could do if we had the resources to do it. We're so advanced in our ministry, but nobody knows it because we don't have all the resources to do it. So we've had properties we've had to give up on. We could build things and do things. We just don't have the consistent cash flow. We don't even have the consistent cash flow to pay me, so I work a natural job and I don't take a salary. And I don't mind, but I don't believe God wants that to be forever. But I said this to God. Actually, I was in a meeting with Bishop T.D. Jakes, and the power of God was flowing. And I said this. I said, God, I just need one nod from you. I don't need you to do a whole lot. Just one nod from God can change, deliver yourself a whole financial picture in just a moment. The Jesus in you can shift anything. You don't need a whole bunch. You just need one nod from God. Just nod my direction. Just blow my direction. God, if you just wink my direction, my whole situation can change. Muncie, Delaware County can change with one nod from God. So whatever you do, don't stop praying. Don't stop preaching. Don't stop praising. Don't stop believing, because one nod from God can change it all. How about you just tell God, God, just nod my way. Let's look at Hebrews 1:3.
He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature.
Let me stop right there. So Paul's talking about Jesus. Now the disciples, I left you with them looking at him and saying, what manner of man is this? But Paul begins to talk about who he is. He's the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. Read some more.
And he upholds the universe by the word of his power.
I know you're struggling in the universe and you've got issues in the universe, and you have things that you have to deal with. And yes, there's ugly things like child abuse and sex trafficking, and we don't understand it all, but we do have to understand he upholds all things by the word of his power. So what we got to do, we got to get that word in us, because we need to have the power to turn things around. Sometimes to say to turn things upside down, no, we're trying to turn things right side up. This yes. world is mixed up, and we need the power of God and Jesus in our lives to make it happen. Read some more.
After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high.
After he got done doing what he was doing, we preached it on Easter, the Bible says he sat down at the right hand of the Father. You don't sit down unless you're ready to rest. Mm. The reason why he sat down, because he gave us the authority. And sometimes we're waiting on God to work, and God is sitting waiting on us to work. Because I gave you the power with my own blood, with my own life. You have the power. Look at your neighbor and say, you got the power.
All right, now
let's keep going. What can we learn about water from the beginning? So if you follow me, I'm painting a picture. So now I want to switch. We've been talking about the rain, but what does the scripture talk to us about water in general? What can we learn? Here's the first thing I want to submit to you. It's something theologically called the law of first mention. What the law of first mention is, the first time something is mentioned in the scriptures shows us the very overall intent of what God was trying to say in the beginning. You may see other things in scripture with that word, but that shows the consistent. It stays consistent throughout scripture. So oftentimes when you're reading Genesis, you see the first things. And the first time something is mentioned is very powerful. So I want to know, when was the first time water was mentioned? So let's look at Genesis 1 and 2.
And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep.
Let me stop right there. The first verse says God created heaven and earth. Verse 2 says the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. So water was somewhere in the system. After Satan fell and fell to the earth, somehow there was chaos, but water showed up somewhere. Because it says darkness was on the face of the deep. So water can have darkness connected to it. Yeah, your storm can be dark, because the beginning of the Bible lets us know that darkness and water are connected. But read some more.
And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters.
Oh, here's the thing. No matter how dark the waters is, the Spirit of God moves on the waters. And no matter what the storm is doing in your life and how dark it is, God's Spirit can move on the waters. You need His Son in your life, but you need His Spirit hovering over your life. Because God can move on the waters. They tell me that our bodies are somewhere between 70 and 80% water. So when the Spirit moves on you, He can change anything. So basically what I'm telling you, no matter what storm you're in, if you have the Son and you have the Spirit, who was all sent by the Father, you're going to be just okay. Now I want to show you some more stuff. Let's go to the next verse. Verse 6.
And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters.
All right, so God began to reorganize the world. And there was water covering things. And the Bible says that we're going to separate. And I'm going to put a firmament in between the waters. So I'm going to divide the waters. There's going to be waters above and be waters below. And there's going to be a firmament in between. The firmament is what we call the sky. So this big blue sky that we see when we walk out, it separates the waters above from the waters below, but they are both connected. They're the same waters, but they're just separated. Have you ever woke up in the morning and smelled rain? I mean, you smell it in the atmosphere because the waters are connected. And if you've ever had any joint issues, when you get out in that atmosphere, your joints begin to hurt. That's why old folks is better than the weatherman. I know it's going to rain. My knees. Because the waters are connected. They're separated by the sky. So that means that they are still controlled by God. Let me see. I don't want to get too deep, but can y'all go with me just a little bit? There are three heavens. There is the heaven that we're all trying to get to. That's the third heaven. The second heaven is where the angelic and the demonic begin to work and mix and fight. And then the first heaven is the sky, where the rain is. So when you get up in a plane, you're in the first heaven. But when you're affected by either demonic or angelic pressure, that's the second heaven. And then the third heaven is where we're trying to get to. So the third heaven is where God reigns and God sits. The second heaven is where demonic activity happens. And then in the sky is the first heaven. So sometimes when rain comes, rain is coming because of demonic attack. Sometimes the storm that you're going through is not because you're wrong, like I said, it's because demonic attack, because the devil is after you. But they operate in the second heaven, and there's another heaven above. So when God gets good and ready, and if you can trust Him and believe Him, He can shut everything down from the top to the bottom, because He owns it all and controls it all. All right, I'm going somewhere. Somebody say, go somewhere, Pastor. All right, now, Genesis 7:11, where you can get a Slurpee. Genesis 7:11.
In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, on the 17th day of the month, on that day, all the fountains of the great deep burst forth, and the windows of the heavens were opened.
Now, the first time we hear about the flood, a flood of this magnitude, was in Noah's in Genesis 7. But it says something interesting. It says the fountains of the deep broke forth. Because remember, the waters on the ground, the seas and the lakes, not the man-made lakes, but the real ones, the rivers and the seas and the oceans, are connected to the expanse in the sky. And so when the waters broke loose and the fountains broke loose, there was a downpour. Because how can I say it? Let's look at it like this, like a cycle, like this. Let's say we have a glass cycle like this. If the fountains break loose on the bottom, it's going to drain it all down, and it's going to downpour. And people say, I don't believe that the whole world was flooded. Look what happened in Houston last year in a few short times, how everything was coming up, because there is a connection with all the waters, and when the fountains break, the heavens open. Now, this is natural, but let's go to Genesis 7 and 12.
And the rain fell upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights.
So 40 straight days of rain because of what I'm trying to tell you. I'm trying to paint a picture. All this water is connected, and when it broke loose, it just started coming and coming and coming for 40 straight days. Now, what's interesting, Noah was building an ark, and he told them it's going to rain, but they had never seen rain. So they're like, okay, yeah, whatever. The first year, I believe you. The second year, I believe you. The fifth year, I believe you. The tenth year, I might believe you. But Noah preached 120 years. So folk looked at him, this fool is crazy. He built this big boat, and all we've seen is dew on the ground. But when the fountains broke loose, here's the thing you got to understand. I don't know how long you've been working on something. I don't know how long you've been believing. I don't know how long you've been trusting. I don't know how long you've been waiting. I don't care how dark and bad it looks. When the fountains break loose,
hallelujah,
they break loose. Now, I'm not talking about demonic storms anymore, because demonic storms, they can only go so far, and they can only last so long because they're in the second heaven, and God operates in the third heaven. And what we told you last week is what happens with the demonic storms, they actually make you grow. So God allows you to go through that, but then there comes a time when God breaks open the fountains of the deep and everything pours. So what are you saying, Andre? I'm trying to catch you. Keep going with me. Let's put this up. First natural, then spiritual. The Bible says if you look at nature and natural things, you'll begin to understand spiritual principles. So the few things I've been telling you about, number one, that if you have Jesus in your ship, in your life, you can handle any storm. And then if the Holy Spirit is hovering over your life, he can shift and move everything. And now I'm telling you that there's a connection with all this rain and all this water. And there comes a time in your spiritual life where the heavens open. Now, if you catch me, let's look at this. Once you've been prepared by stormy rain, you can stand the rain of blessings. Here's the thing. The demonic rains and the stormy rains, they're to prepare you for another level of rain. The demonic rains operate in the second heaven. But if you can handle the demonic rains, the principalities, if you can handle the devil always harassing you and telling you you're not going to be anything, and some people die because of low self-esteem, and you fought suicide tooth and nail, and you fought depression, and you can still stand up on a Sunday morning and say, God, I give you praise. If you can handle that, and you can go through that, and Jesus is in your ship, and the Spirit is over your waters, you prepare yourself for a rain of blessings. It's not that God doesn't want to bless you. God has to qualify you, because some of the blessing that's coming to your life, it'll blow your mind. So God says, let me go through the rains. Let them go through the trouble. Let them go through the storm. But if they can hold to their profession in the hardest trial of their life, the fountains of the deep begin to open up over their life, and the windows of heaven open up. I announce to you, somebody is moving into a deluge blessing. A deluge is a downpour. It's when just stuff drops out of the sky. God wants to bless you, but the first thing he needed to know, can you stand the rain? And if you can stand the rain, and you can stand sickness, and you can stand grief, and you can stand folk lying on you and stabbing you in your back and people walking out on you, if you can stand that, baby, you're ready to be blessed. Oh, you're ready, you're ready, you're ready. And if I can prove it to you, the second time we hear, the first time we hear that the windows of heaven open, it was talking about natural rain. The second time we hear about the windows of heaven open, let's read it.
And I will make them and the places all around my hill a blessing. And I will send down the showers in their season. They shall be showers of blessings.
Which is just telling you what I told you before. So we're putting this up. Now we're going to switch and talk about open heaven. Open heaven. So let's read Malachi 3 and 10.
Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it.
Let me tell you something, saints. One good downpour of God's blessing can change all of Delaware County's problems. Because once a person stands and can hit the blessing of God, he never pours supernatural abundant blessing on people who are going to hoard it all. If your mindset is all about you, you're not ready for the downpour of God. And that's why he allows you to go through the rain of storms so you can get that selfishness out of your spirit to break you down from thinking about my four and no more, my three and just me, my two and forget about you, my one and I'm done, son. The devil has got you so selfish, but God's trying to break that selfishness out of you through the storms and allow you to face death. That way, when he comes over here and blesses you, you don't care about sharing. You don't care about being philanthropic. What I love about Bill Gates and Bill and Melinda Gates, they're some of the richest people in the world, but they're givers. They're big givers. There's a difference between Bill Gates and Oprah Winfrey and Warren Buffett and Donald Trump. Donald Trump, I'm not trying to talk about y'all president. Because I didn't vote for him, so y'all must have. I'm not trying to talk about y'all president. But if you notice the difference about him, everything he did, he put his name on it. Trump. Trump. It was always about him and his brand. It's a great marketing strategy, but the real billionaires, you hardly never even know that they are around because they care not just about them and their legacy. They care about changing the world. And I'm trying to let you know it's time for the children of God to make a difference in the world. And God says you're not going to be able to do it until I pour out blessing on you. But first, I got to challenge you. And then it comes to some little simple thing. It says, if you can't even handle the 10% and the 90, you're not ready to be blessed. I love you. You're going to go to heaven. I'll forgive you. I'll still be in your ship. But you are not ready to be blessed until you can say, God, I'll pour my heart out to you. I'll pour my soul out to you. I don't have to have the nicest things to serve you. I don't have to have the biggest house to serve you. I don't have to have the newest car to serve you. The fact that I woke up this morning, that's good enough for me to say thank you, God. And when you live like that all your life, you've broken down and the fountains are getting ready to open over your life. Everybody don't need money. Some people just need a fountain of healing. Somebody needs a fountain of love. Somebody needs a fountain of peace. But whatever you need, it's getting ready to come over your life. But let me tell you what I need. I need M-O-N-E-Y. I'm love. I got peace. What I need is some M-O-N-E-Y. And I'm saying, God, pour on me. God, open the heavens over me. God, change my life. Have you ever written down your dreams? Are you just pretending? You ought to have a dream book. You ought to have stuff that you're planning on doing. You ought to be right at the edge of your dream trying to push, because you know one day, I don't know when, I don't know how, I don't know where, but I know the God that is in my ship, he also controls the highest heaven. And when it's ready and it's time, he'll pour out on me. Get your dreams in order. Start pushing for them. Get out of silly debt, so you can pursue your dreams. Stop using your credit card to buy a new hat and a new shirt. Stop being silly, but prepare yourself. Invest in a stock. Invest in a 401k, because you don't know when something's going to break open, but position yourself to be ready. The problem with poverty-minded thinking says, I'm always going to be here, so I don't care nothing about the future. I'm living for now. Oh, they got crab day at Red Lobster. And I don't have any money, but I'm going to take my credit card and I'm going to eat crab day. That's nice, maybe here and there. But you can't live like that all the time. You got to look for the future. Bishop Jake says this way, sometimes you got to throw money to the old man. And what he means by that is you're young now, but sometimes you got to throw money to the old man, because when you become the old man, you're going to look back at your young self and say, I wish you would have left me a little something. The older you get, the more you get mad and say, I didn't need to go to King's Island every single year. I didn't need to do without all that stuff. Change your thinking and look for the future, because the future's going to be bright. And what if you say, Pastor, well, I'm already close to 80 and 90, and I ain't got much left. I'm going to live for now. But what about your grandkids? What about the people coming up after us? You've got to look beyond and see that we need a downpour of the blessings of God. Let me pause real quick and just say this. What's going on in our community now? It came really when that crack epidemic hit. It really robbed our communities. And I understand addiction is hard. It's hard. It actually changes people's psyche. But if they would have ever, could have ever thought what they were doing to the generation coming after me. I go and I mentor in schools. And some of these kids, they're not bad kids, but they didn't have anybody to raise them, because mama and daddy was on dope and chasing the next high and wasn't around. And now they're 15 and 16 and the school can't do nothing with them. And they say, Pastor, can you come talk to these kids? It's because the people before them couldn't see the future. All they can see is, I got to get that high. The reason why we're talking about autism and child abuse, I don't want you just looking for the day. Look at the people coming after us. Yeah, God don't come back. But what if he doesn't? What if he doesn't come back in 100 years? We're leaving our kids in trouble. We got to believe to pull everybody, because there's a downpour coming. And we want to be ready for it. We don't want the downpour to have to skip over us, because we couldn't manage the simple storms in our life. If you're addicted, I'm not mad at you. I've been addicted. But you fight tooth and nail to be the best addicted person you can be. Tell somebody, listen, take my money. My dad used to be paid for people, which meant that when I get my money, I cannot just spend it. I got to go through somebody else to get my money. Even though they were addicted, they were trying to set up some stuff so they can be better in the long run. Whenever you face it, you got to fight through it, because there is a downpour coming. And I don't want you to miss out on it. I want some folk in this city to get the downpour. Not just this church, I mean this city. I want to see something come back. I'm tired of the good old boy system in this city. Not just this city, East Central Indiana. We still racist, and they don't tell you that they're racist, but they still want only certain people to have the money and control the stuff. The devil is a lie. I want power. I want politicians. I want lawyers and doctors. I want to raise up a generation that'll shake the foundations of the earth. I've been through the storm. I've been through the rain. Now I'm ready for the heavens to open up over our lives. Somebody say, I'm living under an open heaven. Let's put this verse up in the English Standard Version.
Bring the full tithe into the storehouse.
I like the way the English Standard Version, it says the full tithe.
that there may be
Hold on. I ain't going to stay on it too long, but it says what?
The full tithe.
The full tithe. Not I'm going to stand in line for the Jordans, and I'm going to get them, and then I'm going to give something to the church now, because I love my church and I love my pastor, but it might not be the full tithe. It's going to be a piece of it, because I'm going to do what I want to do first. And guess what? I'm not mad at you. I'm not going to jump on you, but you're not ready for the downpour. Because God wants to downpour on people that he knows will get it, will let go of it if they ask him. Let me give you an example. There was something going on that I came across that I heard about somebody needing a big amount of money. So I was praying about that situation. And God says, if I gave you that money, and you know you need it because it's a big amount. You know you need it. Could you still give it to them? If I dropped it in your lap, could you turn around and give it to them and say, God, I can do it? Because if you brought it to me one time, you can bring it to me again. So what God wants to know is, will you be so selfish that if I do downpour on you, nobody will see you ever again? Pastor, I'm going to the Bahamas. I love y'all. Bye. God says, I don't want people like that. I want somebody that will take the blessing and sure they'll take care of their family, but you can only drive one car at a time. You can only live in one house at a time. Why don't you look and say, is there somebody else I can be good to? Is there somebody else I can bless? Can I change somebody's life? Even as Sister Crystal was talking, you know what? We prayed to have kids, and we had three, and I'm good with kids. But when she said something about foster kids, I didn't say, God, I would do it. I said, God, but just soften my heart if that's what you want. I don't want to take care of any of the kids. But if it's going to mean that somebody else would die, maybe, God, you want me to do it. Soften my heart that you can get any blessing not just to me, but through me, God. Can I make a difference with the sex trafficking? Can I make a difference? The reason why the prostitute is being the prostitute, she don't want to do that, but that's the only way she can make money. Can I be the change to pull somebody off the street and say, we can put you up in a house and get you started? Can we get a downpour but not be selfish? Can we get a downpour and say, God, I'm going to bless somebody else? The Bible said of Abraham, he said, I'm going to bless you to be a blessing. I'm going to touch you to be a touching. And I'm saying you've been through all rain in your life to get to this point where God can trust you and say, I'm going to change whole communities just through you. Are you ready to be that type of people? Are you ready to say, God, whatever it takes, I'm going to be a blessing? Guess what? What's going to happen? We will never, ever, ever, ever have a situation where I have the best car on the parking lot and all y'all driving buses. Take care of the pastor. Because I'm the pastor. The devil is a lie. When I get blessed, I want us all to get blessed. I want us all to look good, eat good, be good. Because we want to have a downpour that will change our community. Back in the day, they didn't have hospitals. Or even when they start building hospitals, most of those hospitals are named after church things. St. So-and-So's Hospital, St. Vincent. Because it used to be the church that took care of all the needs. It was the church that took care of the schooling. Those Ivy League schools, Dartmouth and all those schools, Harvard, they started off as Christian schools to change the culture. But over time, we lost power because we got so concerned about being in here and having church. Oh, praise you, Jesus. Amazing grace. And the world was changing right under our feet. And we didn't do anything about it, but there's a day coming back where people want the church again. Yeah, they took prayer out of schools, but they're inviting pastors back into schools because they want what we got. And are we ready to have a downpour that will change? What if in just a few Sundays with the power of God and an open heaven, we can change the opioid epidemic in our city because we prayed through to the heavens broke open over our city and our city changed because we want to have a downpour that will touch everybody around us. Time out for saying, I'm going to heaven and that's good enough. Time out for that. We want to change our communities with an open heaven. Read some more of this.
Bring the full tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and thereby put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you a blessing until there is no more need.
Until there is no more need. And when there's no more need, you help somebody else. Now I'm going to give you so many other examples of rain, and we're just going to go through them, and we're going to close. Let's look at Hosea 10:12.
Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground.
Let me stop over here. Break up your fallow ground means that hard digging. That's what the hard storms of your life was, to dig and break up your fallow ground. And then what would happen?
For it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you.
Time to seek the Lord till he comes and rains righteousness upon you. What if he rains righteousness upon everybody in this building? When we walk out of this building, we have just took righteousness into our city. And when we go to our job, there's righteousness on our job. When we go to the restaurants, there's righteousness in the restaurants. And when it's summertime and the young kids get hot-headed and ready to shoot their guns, they can't shoot because righteousness is all around them. We got to work until God comes and rains righteousness down upon us. There's a whole lot of evil. Every time you turn on your television, there's evil. I'm tired of evil. I'm ready for some righteousness. And God is saying, the church, it's time for you to seek me till I reign righteousness. What that means, sometimes you got to turn TV off. Sometimes you got to take the secular music off. Not that it's wrong or bad. It don't mean you're going to heaven. I mean, going to hell and you're going to miss heaven. That's not what I'm saying. It don't mean you can't go to movies. But sometimes you got to seek the Lord. Because God, we need a touch in this city. God, my family needs to turn around. If every woman in your family has had babies out of wedlock, that's a curse. You need to seek God until righteousness reigns on your family. If every man has gone to prison or is dead, that's a curse from the devil. Stop playing church and seek God until righteousness reigns down. You got to make up in your mind, the buck stops here. The buck stops with me. I will not have the same thing going on in my family. I want righteousness. But he says that you have to first break up that fallow ground. And that's what the storms of your life is over. And then you go and push. For us, when we had 8 deaths in a matter of 3 weeks, I was in a hotel room in Connecticut. And Brother Fish was the last one I heard about. And finally, I said, I rebuke death. I had been rebuking death every time I heard it, but I got righteously indignant. No, I'm tired of doing funerals. I'm tired of seeing families crying. The devil, you're not going to keep putting death in our lives and making us go through hell. The devil is a liar. I rebuke it because I want righteousness to reign down. We can't just keep hearing news and say, oh man, the world's getting bad. Stand up! Say something. All right, read the next verse, Hosea 6:3.
Then shall we know, if we follow on to know the Lord, his going forth is prepared as the morning, and he shall come unto us as the rain, as the latter and former rain unto the earth.
Said, if we follow on to know the Lord, if we keep seeking after him, he's going to come and give us the former and the latter rain. Now let me explain that real quick. When they had their sowing season, there were 2 major rains that they needed. Number one, there was the rain in October and November. That was the last end of the fall rains. And so they would sow in October. And so they needed the rains in October and November so that that seed can sink in. And so that seed can take root and break open, and then they can get a little harvest. Because then you're getting ready to go into the colder months. And then the latter rain was at the end of April and May, when the latter rain would come. So they need those 2 rains. But God says, if you follow on, I'll give you both rains right away. I'll give you the former and the latter rain. One scripture says in the same month, I'm going to give you everything you need to make it. Next verse.
Fear not, O land, be glad and rejoice, for the Lord will do great things.
Verse 23.
Be glad, O children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given the early rain for your vindication. He has poured down for you abundant rain, the early and the latter rain as before.
Here's what God said. He's first going to give you the early rain for your vindication. Because a lot of people have looked at your life and say, why are you still serving God? If God's so good, why didn't he help you? If God's so good, why didn't he keep your brother from dying? If God's so good, why didn't he keep your brother from being murdered? If God was so good, why did so-and-so leave you? Why'd you get divorced? And people are challenging you, and not just people, sometimes it's the devil pointing at you and saying, you need to quit, you need to give up. But God says, first thing I'm doing, I'm going to bring the early rain for your vindication. I'm going to put something on you that's going to shut the mouths of your enemies, to put your enemies on hush mouth. Some God going to put a blessing on you that folk that hate you can't even talk, because they're going to look at you and be like, how did that happen? Because he said, I'm going to vindicate my people. You've been through the rain. You can stand the rain. I'm getting ready to vindicate you. I'm getting ready to put you on Front Street and bless you. But not only am I going to give you the early rain to vindicate you, I'm going to pour down abundant rain. So you don't have just rain for yourself and your family. You have rain to bless another family. You have enough rain to even bless the enemies that talked about you, and you go and bless them, because when I get good to you, you'll bless everything around you. I'll never forget one time I was walking in the Wendy's. I left my job and I had ran to Wendy's to get something on, and get back before lunch was over. And as I approached, there was these two white guys standing there, and they both had shaved heads, and they were mean mugging me. And then when I got around, I think they had like one of them swastikas. I'm like, oh, these are skinheads. And me being me, it's like, you gonna mean mug me, I'm gonna mean mug you. You don't be looking at me, I'll be looking at you. I wasn't a pastor then. I wasn't as saved as I am now. So I paid for my food, and I got my food before them, and they just looked at me and watched me go out there. And when I went and got in my car, God said, go and give them $10 for their meal. I'm like, the devil is a liar. I rebuke that. Where that coming from? But what God was saying, sometimes you overcome hate with love. I never met him again, but I did what I was supposed to do. And I came, I said, here, God told me to give you this. And they took the money and they just looked at me and looked at each other. They were so confused. And I was confused too. I don't know, why am I giving these folk money? But when God rains righteousness on you, you don't have time to hate. You don't have time to be mean. You'll bless everybody God tells you to bless. And the reason why I stay blessed, because whatever God tells me to give it, I'll give it away. Because I'm already vindicated. We need the early and the latter. Some people just pray for vindication. I just want a degree so I can laugh at all my haters. You're not ready for supernatural blessing. It's not just getting over on your haters. It's being so abundantly blessed, you can't help but give it all away. And change your economy around you. Mark 1:9.
And it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized of John in Jordan.
I'm going to switch. We start off with Jesus in the ship, and I'm going to close with Jesus. So when Jesus came onto this earth, he came to a time when his ministry opened up. Let me just throw this out there for you people who are anointed. You know you're anointed, but you ain't got your chance. You ain't got your opportunity. Don't nobody know it. Jesus was so anointed at 12 that the people in the temple was astonished at what he was saying. But God didn't release him to 30. So for 18 years, he was silent and humbled himself. He was the Son of God when he was in the manger. He could have got out of the manger and changed the world, but he waited to the process of time. And some of y'all, the rain that you've gone through is not because you're bad. It just ain't time yet. It's just not your season yet. It's just not your moment yet. But when your moment and time comes, be ready. My good friend Charles Venable, and him were talking. We were talking about ministry some years ago. And he said, what God told me, he said, God told me this, and I've kept this, and I live by this. He said, Charles, until I open the door for you, work in the hallway. In other words, until a door opens up, be prepared. Be ready. Work on yourself. Until a man proposes on you, comb your hair every day. Brush your teeth. Wash your behind. Prepare yourself. Don't be lazy. Don't wait until the door opens. Be ready. Be ready for whatever's come. Why do you have so many suits, Pastor Andre? Because we're at a church that's come as you are. And people can come as you are. And you can wear jeans and t-shirts. But where I'm going, I'm not dressing for where I am. I'm dressing for where I'm going. That's why my logo says Andre Mitchell Ministries and has a jet going around the world, because I'm preparing for where I'm going. And Jesus was prepared. But at this moment, he showed up and it was his season. It was a moment. So he got baptized by John. Another thing, John wasn't even worthy, but Jesus humbled himself and allowed somebody else to baptize him. Next verse. Verse 10.
And straightway coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens open and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him.
Wait a second. Straightway, we're going to put it back into the context of the series we've been teaching. Straightway, when he came out of the stormy rains and moved over here, the heavens opened to him. And the Spirit of God fell on him. Let me announce to you, I've been trying to tell y'all for a couple years, there's a revival coming to America. There's a revival coming to Muncie, Indiana. And when God pulls you out of the stormy rains and opens the heavens up, not just to bless you with money, but to drop the Spirit of God on you. The Bible says that Peter would walk and his shadow would heal folk. They didn't have to be touched by him, just his shadow. I'm here to let you know that there's a power of God coming to the city. There's miracle signs and wonders coming. And when God pulls you out of the storm and the rain and he opens the heavens up, things are getting ready to happen. Sometimes God allows things to get so bad so he can be the only answer. And I know physically, the heavens have opened over my life. Things are happening in such a way that I'm even seeing in the actual heavens. I was with my sons and I told them, I said, look at that. It was where the clouds were all dark and there was just a circle and the sun was just shining right through that circle. And then when I got off the plane and I was driving through Indianapolis and I happened to look back over the shoulder and I seen the light and there was a cloud that looked like in the form of a dove. And I said, God, I hear what you're saying. You're getting ready to open up the supernatural to us. You're getting ready to do stuff that's going to blow our mind. But you wanted us to be ready. And now we're ready. And we're saying, God, open your heavens over us. In this church, when they were building this church, two doves flew in this building and got up here we didn't even have the carpet, none of this stuff. We just had those fans up there. And two doves came in. Now, when's the last time you seen a dove in cross town? And let me tell me that. When's the last time? But when God was trying to teach us something. So when I built the logo, I put a dove, because the dove represents the Spirit of God descending on us. We are nothing without the presence of God. We are nothing without the Spirit of God. I don't want money and not have his presence. I don't want to have a great family and not have his presence. But what God says, I'll give you both, but I open the heavens, but then I'm going to drop my Spirit on. Last verse, and this is where we're closed from, and we'll go.
And there came a voice from heaven saying, thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.
You are part of Deliverance Temple. And you've been through the storm. You've been through the rain. And I've brought you out. I want you to know one thing. I'm well pleased in you. And because I'm well pleased, yeah, you've been through divorce, you've been through all kinds of bankruptcies, you've been through sickness, you've been through people dying, but somehow you're still here. And I hear God saying, I'm getting ready to open the heavens over you. But the one thing I want you to know, I'm pleased with you. I know you thought that you've done something wrong because it's taken so long and I haven't come through yet and I haven't turned it around yet and your family member's been on drugs and people aren't getting saved, but I want you to let you know I'm well pleased in you and I'm putting my presence over you and we're going to see some miracles. We're going to not. And I ain't talking about in here because everybody wants to do stuff in church. I'm talking about out there. Where God touches you to touch somebody in a grocery store because the heavens have opened and God is sending down the rain. If you can stand the rain, if you can stand the trouble, God will shift you and put you in another place and say, I'm pleased with you. And I'm announcing to you, Deliverance Temple, we are in that season right now. Let's pursue God like we've never pursued him. Let's get so serious about the things of God. Let's get so serious about his presence of God. Let's be so serious. This is the last thing I'll say. Let's be so serious about his presence that Sunday morning will be almost a down for you. In other words, I've been so close to God all week long that when I come in Sunday morning, it can't be as good as what me and God have been doing. If we all do that, when we come together, the corporate anointing would leap out of this place. Because we've been in his presence all week long. We've been with him. We give him more time than Facebook. We give him more time than our friends. We give him everything because he's the only one that can open the heavens over our life and reverse every curse that's ever been on your life. We're so close to it, saints. We're so close. Let's buckle down and let's go for it. Let's stand to our feet.